This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's been just about 3 months since the protests following the death of a young black man named Freddie Gray in Baltimore, Maryland. Many of the 400 or so businesses that were damaged in the violence and the looting are still recovering. About 40 of those stores were liquor stores. City officials want fewer of them in Baltimore's poor neighborhoods, saying that they contribute to crime and decay in those parts of the city. So they are denying emergency aid to a lot of those stores. From Baltimore Marketplace's Amy Scott has that story.
The looters came in through the back, pried open a fence, and tore the door off the frame. They stripped the shelves, smashed the ATM, and busted open the cash registers.
I can't do nothing because it's not one, two, three people. Like more than 50 people.
Michael Gubrew owns Doc's Liquors in Sandtown, Winchester. The neighborhood was ground zero during the April riots. Gubrew, who came here from Eritrea, says he lost more than $75,000 worth of liquor and food that night. He recognized his own customers among the looters. Gubrew has insurance, but if he applied for aid from the city, he'd be out of luck because Doc's is considered a non-conforming liquor store.
They're called non-conforming because it's clear that they're inconsistent with the neighborhood that they're in.
That's Stephanie Rawlings Blake, the mayor of Baltimore. She says zoning rules introduced in 1971 banned liquor stores in certain residential areas, but the 100 or so that were already there, like Doc's, were allowed to stay. Her administration has been pushing to close those stores. So when the city offered emergency loans to businesses damaged in the riots, Rawlings Blake excluded the 20 non-conforming liquor stores, unless they relocate or start selling something else, like fresh fruits and vegetables.
I heard from the residents, I heard from business leaders, with a unified voice that they did not want any city dollars to go towards reopening the non-conforming liquor stores.
One of those residents is Elder Clyde William Harris. He's lived in Sandtown, Winchester for 65 years and founded Newborn Holistic Ministries, a group fighting poverty in the neighborhood.
Any corner where there is a liquor establishment, check those corners out. Hot spots in our community, and we don't need that. We do not need that.
What they do need, residents say, are family restaurants and grocery stores. But those businesses can be expensive to start and difficult to run. Liquor stores are relatively easy to manage and don't require a big investment. Plus, alcohol has a high profit margin, and there's a lot of demand. Abraham Hurdle is a lawyer who represents several liquor store owners. He says they're often immigrant families from Korea, South Asia, and the Middle East.
The vast majority of them are small business owners working 7 days a week often just to put food on the table, put their kids in college, you know, just the same old American dream as everybody else. And I think to say that they're responsible for all the problems that Baltimore has, it's just plain unfair.
If only there weren't so many of these businesses so close together, community activists say. Deborah Furr Holden is an epidemiologist at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. She drives me to the neighborhood of Park Heights in northwest Baltimore. We pass block after block of boarded up buildings and empty lots until we come to a commercial strip with three cell phone stores, a fried chicken joint, and four liquor stores, with another on the corner of the next block.
That creates a cluster of five liquor stores within a one-block area.
One sells some groceries, another has a small bar attached and sells pipes and herbal Viagra. But they have one thing in common. Nearly everything is behind a thick layer of bulletproof plexiglass.
So you literally can't touch the products. You can't browse through the products. I just think it's a very dehumanizing way to make purchases. This is the standard sort of purchase experience for people that live in communities like this.
Good morning. Would you like a bag?
Behind the glass at Doc's Liquors in Sandtown, Winchester, a cashier does a steady business selling sodas and hot Cheetos. Plenty of booze passes through, too. Owner Michael Gubrew says he doesn't feel great about selling liquor to obviously desperate people on a weekday morning. But he says shutting down a few stores won't change Baltimore.
The problem is not liquor stores. That's I believe.
What do you think it is?
Everybody knows the problem.
The problem is the lack of jobs, he says. In this neighborhood, more than half of working-age people are unemployed. Gabrou plans to stay in business even without help from the city. But stores like his face a longer-term threat. Baltimore is in the midst of its first zoning overhaul in more than 40 years, which could force non-conforming liquor stores to stop selling alcohol. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.